Welcome to the FT Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 2nd of December, recording at 11:05 p.m., and that's Greenwich Medium Time. Later than I would like, and later than normal, but it's been a somewhat challenging day, as you can imagine. Now, first, I want to offer my sincerest apologies for the confusion and difficulties with the Fuller Money website, including the chart library that you will have experienced here today. You're also entitled to an explanation. And here's the short-term problem in a nutshell. Separation from our prior associates has not been as amicable as we would have liked. To put it mildly, not least as we agreed to pay their high price for Fuller Money. For me, that was a case of either pay the price or retire, because I had an 18-month contract and a no-compete clause for a period thereafter. I obviously did not want to retire, and both Owen and I wanted to continue to work together, not least with our very capable new partners. The seller thought that by holding out for a high price, they had the old Fuller Money locked in. As a milch cow in the exploitive sense of that term. When, with the help of our new partners, we paid the price, our former associates tried to sink or at least considerably delay the deal by dragging their heels on releasing data, such as the historic price history, which we had already paid for, and it was essential for the library, and also charging a very expensive monthly service fee. That made it impossible to see the chart library live until this last week. So there are temporarily plenty of bugs, as you have noticed. We were also given inaccurate information on codes for subscribers' favorites. There have been other transfer problems, but I'm sure you get the picture. We decided that we just had to go ahead on our own, and instead of paying thousands of more pounds on a monthly basis, effectively in a hostage situation, we would launch FT Money and pay the fees to our associates' international team of programmers who now have full access to the data previously withheld. That is what we are doing, and I guarantee that you will see improvements every day. With your help in terms of feedback to Craig Ribton, and you can see the link at the end of his letter posted in Comment of the Day on Friday, or via the library feedback or contact us links, or to Owen or me personally, we can spot and solve most of the bugs and small problems quickly. All of us at FT Money are determined to see that this site is much more user-friendly than Fuller Money was before the end of January. No expense or effort will be spared, because our goal is to reward your loyalty. Okay, what's going on here today? Tired-looking stock markets here overall. I think that's hardly surprising. But Wall Street's really the key one, because that's the most overextended in terms of its 200-day moving averages for the indices, in terms of some of the speculation that we have seen and the recently floated or more popular technology shares. And also, it's more overextended on a valuations basis than the others. Now, Wall Street had started a little bit firmer, but then gave that up and closed down about 0.5% on the Dow and just over 0.25% on the S&P and 0.36% on the NASDAQ. So only a small decline, no big downward dynamic, but nevertheless, that was sufficient to provide a small key day reversal on the NASDAQ 100 index. When a market's overextended but still on a very consistent overall upward trend, as is the case with Wall Street, those small keys are warning signs that the end of the move is not too far off. The only plus side here today in the North American sector that I can see is Canada, but it was up only a very small fraction. In the Central and Southern American markets, Brazil took a 2.36 hit here today. In Europe, all of those indices were lower today. The FTSE MIB, that's Italy, down 1.5%. That was the biggest decline overall, but the lead European indices that were testing their highs, some of them, I'm thinking actually of the SX5E and the SX7E, which I posted on Friday, were testing the higher side of their ranges. So they backed off here today. And in Asia, Japan barely changed. The Hang Seng index was stronger, and the China indices were mixed here, with Taiwan and Hong Kong China enterprises up. The Shanghai and Shenzhen composite indices were a little lower, as was the CSI 300. Korea, Australia, a little bit lower. India, a little bit firmer, along with Malaysia, Thailand, and Indonesia. New Zealand, a little bit lower. So a mixed picture there overall. But more stock markets down than up today. And the key one, obviously, is the U.S. A lot hangs on where that goes in the short term, and I don't think it can go much higher in here, despite this very, very big monetary tailwind, because it's overextended. Now, in the government bond markets, as Wall Street started to head south, those yields began to push up. And the U.S. 10-year that I mention in pretty much every one of these audios, that yield closed just below that 2.8 level. You know, I've mentioned 2.8 level. I've said a break above that level would indicate that the consolidation, this medium-term consolidation, was in a latter stage, if it was maintained for more than two or three days. And then the big one is the 3% level that was reached last September. And it'll take an effort on the part of the Fed to prevent that from being challenged or taken out. And I think that can only happen on a short-term basis, because if the U.S. economy picks up a little bit further and people become a little bit more worried about Wall Street, I think that you will see that index push a little bit higher. Now, in currency markets, the dollar usually firms a little bit when Wall Street softens, and that was true in here today. So the U.S. dollar index is up to 80.90. The pound, British pound, was just a little bit lower, but it's at 1.6355 as I speak, and the euro a little bit lower at 1.3541. The most significant change that I see on here is that the Japanese yen is just below the 103 level against the U.S. dollar, and that will certainly offer some support to Japan's stock market overall, or help to cushion, at least cushion the downside in here while it's getting a little brief pause near the former highs of the year. The Indian rupee got down, touched 62 here today, but couldn't hold it. Closed slightly above that level. And elsewhere, the CCI index, that's a continuous commodity index, which had had a strongish day on Friday, gave up at least over half of that rally in here today. Now, among commodities, a majority of them were to the downside, including the grain and bean complex, particularly I see soybeans. But the big story in commodity markets concerned the precious metals. Now, they were all lower here today, and some of these moves were quite sharp. For instance, silver is trading down over 83 cents today. It's currently at $19.19, still trading here after hours. And similarly, platinum, well, not similarly, but it's still down sharply, down $24 to $13.44. And gold bullion is down even more, over $32 to $121, and a little bit of change. So what has happened effectively is that silver, platinum, and gold have all broken down out of the last trading ranges, those little sideways trading ranges that we'd seen over the last week and a half. And therefore, they need some pretty sharp rallies here. For instance, gold would have to close certainly at least $40 higher, take it back above 1260 to indicate a downside failure and continued support from the late June lows that we had seen for gold and silver. That's not impossible, but the odds became a little bit more negative. I think I said it was 60-40 in favor of the downside on my weekend audio, and I would say that's gone to 70-30 in here favoring the downside. And I think the buyers are wary or a bit cowed because of the well-publicized short positions, and the bears have the overall trend clearly in their favor right now, and I'm not sure what it's going to be or why they would lose nerve in here. Obviously, it would take a surge of demand from some source, but that's likely to perhaps to remain on hold because people, well, I'm a small buyer, but when I'm in the market, but people like myself would be quite happy to see gold get a sharp overextension to the downside, which would make it, I think, a much more attractive investment overall. And what else to mention? The industrial metals were mostly firmer in here today. The exception was the U.S. copper market. I've put forward the view, because of the lengthy ranging that those industrial metals have seen, that there was a case for saying that this was a base building stage here. The trouble with that is that aluminium has actually broken down, and nickel is very, very close to doing the same. The strongest one is tin overall, and that's where producers, mainly in Malaysia, had agreed to cut supplies. Now, eventually, in a weak metal market, that's exactly what happens. There's more out on Rio Tinto, for instance, cutting back its supplies, but we would need to see more companies actually announce that they were doing that. So you reduce the supply, there's less overhang than weighing on the markets, and market prices can shoot up far more quickly as a bit of demand actually comes in. So I think we're heading in that direction, but we're not there yet. And anything else here on these commodity markets? The Brent Brent crude oil, that was quite strong in here today, up 1.76. That's taken it back up to $111.45. And on that note, all the very best to all of you. Good night.